The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Like I should make. Yeah, how do cannibals sound? You know, I mean.
I'm not sure. Ask Biden, he'll tell you.
I don't know.
He's got the whole story down.
I saw a meme where Black Pearl with what's his name, Pirates of the Caribbean, running and all the natives chasing him. But I was thinking of the one with Indiana Jones when he's already stolen the idol out of the cave and the. You know, and he's running away, and there's a million aberrations. What a crazy deal. Boy, I'll tell you. It's been, we've been gone for a couple weeks, or at least
I have,
anyway. And I'm
we
back.
Just didn't do 1 week, and we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very interesting show.
I listened to most of it. I didn't get it all, but I listened to most of it, and there's some interesting stuff on the Bitcoin. I really enjoy listening to it. But today is Sunday, once again. And it's the 5th. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo!
I guess we should do a...
Ay, ay, ay! Arriba, arriba!
Andale,
andale!
Why does the Mexican take pills? For Hispanic attacks.
But wow. How much of that whatever you got in the can have you drank today?
Okay, it's Celsius, and it's really good. I like it.
And how many milligrams of caffeine? 84?
Great question, as always. It's only 200.
Wow.
Holy crap. So
we're going to call him Speedy Gonzalez today.
Yeah. Yeehaw, yeehaw, yeehaw.
Arriba, arriba. And then I'm just going to go like Slowpoke Rodriguez on you, you know, and I'm going to say, you know about Slowpoke Rodriguez, right?
Hey, Poncho.
He's very slow, but he carries a big pistola.
Let's go.
Never mind. Anyway, yeah. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, Sovereign Mind, the podcast. No, the radio program. Not the podcast is tomorrow. We'll be doing one tomorrow for the first time for a while. I've been on a hiatus, if you will, to the great state of Arizona. Went down there and looked around Flagstaff and Sedona and went to the Grand Canyon and did a few things, and it was pretty interesting. Looked for a possible place to maybe move at some point, and the answer to that is a big no. I don't think Arizona is going to be the place I land. But other than that, it was a pretty nice trip. Kids enjoyed it. Everything was great.
Nice.
I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting of all of innocent and immovable object. An unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes, and you heard more BS in a BOS meeting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than speeding internet connects more power than high speed download, 10th degree black belt, Ram, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning, 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 morning.
Perfect. And our producer, Chris.
He's going to fall out of his chair over there pretty soon.
I'm going to say Chris is in the other room, but she's
Christina.
Not. Oh, she'll be back.
She's always.
All right.
Around. Very she's good. Always busy.
All right, so we do have a fast-paced show today. There's a lot of stuff to cover, too much, in fact. We've got the town hall will play at the top of the next hour. We've got numerous clips, just all kinds of stuff going on here. Things, the world is just spinning completely out of control. Or is it just me?
It's on fire.
It's on fire.
No,
it's
not. It's a dumpster
fire currently.
It's all good. There's no inflation. Everything's good. The money supply's up. I mean, what more can you want?
Some of these people out there, you know, it's kind of like that. We played that clip from that Russian defector who was a member of the KGB, and he's like, yeah, they people deny reality. Facts mean nothing to them until they get kicked right in the bull. Yeah, and when they're sitting in the gulag and the guy kicks them, and then he's like, oh, yeah, now they wake up. So, yeah, the gas was cheap there, Jimmy. Just crazy, the fact that, people are just absolutely in denial of facts. You know, I was on social media with this one gal, and I don't go on there very much, and she was saying, basically, she posted an article, from Fortune magazine. That said that inflation was caused by all, it's greed inflation. It's caused all by the corporations and the big companies.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah.
Raising their prices because they're greedy and they're making more profits than anybody else. And so I was like, you know, if you're going to blame somebody, at least try to blame the responsible party. And I'm not saying,
that'll take a long time.
I'm not saying there's no greed on the part of, you know,
the wicked people,
the corporations. But to say that all corporations are greedy, half the corporations are little ma and pa outfits out there that are, you know, that are just trying to squeeze and eat by. And I wonder who owns those big corporations. It couldn't be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, which ones are the bad corps?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the ones that are providing all those goods and services out there so that you actually have things to eat? You know, services that are rendered, you know, and, you know, stuff to repair your house or air conditioner or your car.
Drive your car, yeah.
I mean, which one of those should you get rid of first? Or is it just that the government is, because of all its benevolent people, should get involved and tell everybody what to do? Because that seems to be the answer that all of these people want, no matter across the board what it is. Take your pick. Everything should be put in the hands of the government to administer over us because they're really angels in disguise.
They really care.
They really do.
They really care about us.
Look at the current chief agent in charge of everything right now. He's if he had wings, he'd fly. right?
No, probably not because he's too full of.
Well,
manure.
There is that part. Seen him out there on the tarmac.
He can't get off the tarmac.
Seen him out there on the tarmac the other day. It looks like he was kind of, you know, he had that same face you have when you see, like, your grandkid or your kid when you're raising them, when they're filling their diaper.
Mm.
You know, that kind of that look.
the look Joe Biden wears 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Except kids you can understand.
So, anyway, I posted this. And, you know, I'm starting to like a little bit of AI stuff because I think in some cases it actually tells the truth.
Oh, have you seen where they're using AI to predict, like, gold and silver and Bitcoin and all that?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they're starting to use it to do predictions now.
They're also doing one to predict life expectancy. And over one that they had actually ended up doing, it was 80% correct out of the people that was there. It was pretty disturbing. Like, we're talking to the month.
If it starts talking in an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice. Yeah, there's no inflation. Shut up.
I'll be back.
It's true, you know. So, anyway, this gal said that Fortune magazine was... So I just Googled AI real quick and said, define inflation. And it came up with, inflation is an economic phenomenon characterized by a sustained increase in the general price of goods and services in an economy over a time period. Well, that's actually not inflation. That's actually a symptom of inflation, prices rising. The actual cause of inflation, they actually hit it. It says causes of inflation. Inflation can be caused by various factors, including monetary policy, an increase in the money supply, often caused by central banks printing more money that can lead to inflation. And I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty interesting. There's other things involved in the economy. It's not as simple as that. But I guess I was pointing out the fact that I guess if your government spends more money than ever created in the existence of man, so it has to create, again, twice as much it was ever created in since the existence of man in the first place, backed by nothing, and so that...
That's not a problem.
That increases the supply of the money because of the overspending by the government, but that has nothing to do with the raises in prices and so
no.
forth. Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with it, how much money they print and everything. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah, see, so, I posted that, and she goes, well, I'm going to go with Fortune Magazine. They know what they're talking about. And I'm thinking, have you ever even, like, researched anything? I'm going to go with Political. They've always told the truth. I'm listening to the Democratic Party. They wouldn't lie to us. MSNBC, they always tell us the truth about everything, don't they? In fact, they've been right about everything all along. COVID, the lockdowns, the voting. We could go on and on and on. They've called it right every single time, right?
Yeah, if you look at the opposite side of it. Yeah, they're right on the mark. Boom.
Every time they say something, go the other way.
Yeah, boom.
It's really simple. If their mouth's moving, they're lying, all right? So, Trump, take your pick. It doesn't matter what it's about. Russia collusion, the pee-pee hoax, they have not been right about one single thing. You know, now that's actually hard to do. That's actually difficult to be wrong every single time unless you're doing it on purpose.
Well, and once again, in that very line of reasoning and logic, which seems to have just escaped the world, remember, like, you know, 2021, when we got banned off of basically anywhere and everywhere for talking about the vaccines. So this was from April 30th, 2024. AstraZeneca admits in court documents its COVID vaccine can cause blood clots.
We're going to get there.
Oh, there's so much of that coming out. It's unbelievable. Do you see they want to do a treaty?
Well, we're going to get there, but I'm going to try to progress into that because that's also part of the censorship thing that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the censorship, they didn't censor anybody, did they? There's no collusion. I got a clip from Jim Jordan here, cross-examining one of the guys in Congress the other day, the head of the Biden administration. I forget what his title is. We'll get to it. But I want to start off with Trump.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off with Trump. Are we ready to go in there? All right, cool. So this is from Facts Matter. I believe that's I know. This is actually from Epoch Times. Facts Matter with Roman. I can't think of his last name. So this is about the hush money trial and so forth, and the real estate revaluation, all this stuff. So here's what a guy said the other day. Here's a little clip, and let's play this and. Let's just ask ourselves. Did the mainstream media tell us the truth on this?
The prosecution against Trump and Trump in New York. The prosecution against Trump and Trump in New York. Anyone who knows real estate development is waking up right now because they're recognizing that what New York is doing will not only kill all development in New York. Who the hell is going to invest in New York knowing that they can come after and seize their assets if they do something they don't like? In a case which is, in a nutshell, the case is they basically said he inflated the value of a property and he defrauded the bank, while the bank is saying, no, that's the way real estate deals work, and we were paid back, we're happy, we want to continue doing business with Mr. Trump. Where's the crime? We should be the victim, but we're not, and yet they're gonna move forward with trying to take this man's assets.
And if you thought that was interesting, well, hit that subscribe button and get more videos just like this.
So
over the past week,
is that what you call a greedy corporation?
Yeah.
I
wonder, is MSNBC a greedy corporation?
Huh?
I think they are.
Yeah. Brought to you by Pfizer
or Dr. Fauci.
See, that's kind of my point too with this whole thing. Well, I trust Fortune magazine, and you know, without trying to even get into it with her, because she's obviously, you're never going to teach her anything. It's the hardest people to learn stuff is people that don't know they don't know. because they shut their mind off to any new information and facts. And so that's the problem. How do you teach somebody who just goes, well...
Well, you got to be able to have something to turn on, you know.
I'm light bulb.
Yeah, you know.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
So the only reason I post things like that in the first place is to not have an argument with an idiot, because that's the definition of insanity, is trying to argue an idiot out of a position that has no facts to back it in the first place, because they don't care about facts. They're just arguing. All right, my brother's an example of this a long time ago. He used to do this all the time. He called it sophistry, where you just argue with somebody, and then by the time you're
used to,
maybe he still does. but what used to happen is that you get into an argument about something, and it goes full circle to where they're arguing the position you had in the first place,
right?
Saying that what you said was what they said was true, and then yours. So it's just an argument. It doesn't matter. There's no winning that kind of an argument. So, with that said, I wanted to go into.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this clip from this is from Finding the Money. There's a new film out. I haven't watched the whole thing, but this clip is very interesting, because this is Jared Bernstein, and he's the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. He chairs the Council of Economic Advisors to President Joe Biden.
Yeah, so you would think that he would maybe have the light bulb on just a little bit.
This is
but evidently he doesn't have a light bulb at all.
I've been talking about this exact premise for 35 years, and it has been obscured, obfuscated, conspiratorialized, everything, and this one simple question, the guy who's the chief of the Council on Economics for President Biden stumbles over this answer like a third grade child. Okay, here we go. Listen to this. Here's Jared Bernstein.
Because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, again, some of this stuff gets some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money. And it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds.
I'm sorry.
Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right?
Sounds really confident.
Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money, and then it uses that money to I guess I can't really talk, I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about.
That's the best line of the whole thing.
The government clearly prints money, it does it all the time, and it clearly borrows, otherwise we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
Okay, so let me unconfuse it for you here, and first let's define the terms. What's MMT? It's Modern Monetary Theory that was actually coined by Jean-Bernard Keynes, whose monetary theory is in all the leading universities being taught to everybody, and they can't answer one simple question. Why are we borrowing the money from ourselves? Well, let me explain the transaction. The Treasury creates treasury bonds. And they create those treasury bonds with no backing, out of thin air. Just little pieces of paper. And they take those little pieces of paper and they sell them to any buyer that'll buy them. Lately, the only buyer of any consequence at all has been the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve, it takes money that it's instructed by the Treasury to print, and half of this stuff isn't even printed. It's just digits, and they just enter digits into a little computer, and then all of a sudden, on a bank account that has zero, all of a sudden, magically appears the same amount of money needed to buy those Treasury bonds. Okay? Now, they've purchased the treasury bonds as an asset. Okay? And now, that money that they just created out of thin air goes into the government to run everything, all right? And lend it to whatever country, give it to the Ukraine, give it to Israel, give it to all these overseas. They can't fund Hawaii, they can't fund Ohio, but anyway, that's how they get funded. And they keep building a bigger and bigger budget. But there's one small catch here that everybody's missing, is that, and it's just funny that you just overlook this. When they lend us the money on the treasuries, they charge interest on that money that they lent. So if you've got somebody counterfeiting treasuries being bought by somebody who's counterfeiting dollars to buy the counterfeited treasuries and charging you interest on the counterfeited dollars to buy the counterfeited treasuries, is that a problem? And, oh, no, that's not a problem. I'm not sure what's going on here. There's no problem. Why are we enriching all of these bankers worldwide who actually own the Fed or who has ever in charge of it? Because it's a private bank, and if it was not a private bank, then we wouldn't owe anybody interest because it would be ourselves, not them. But seeing as how it's them, because Federal Express isn't a part of the federal government either, and so neither is the Federal Reserve. You can look it up. You can go to their website, deals with stockholders, blah, 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 blah. So now you got a private bank. And I think we have some quotes in that. If a private bank ever issued the currency in America, we'll wake up homeless in the lands that our fathers conquered through taxes and inflation, and the large corporations that would spring up around them, you know, those evil corporations that we've been talking about that keep raising the prices. Okay, but wait a minute. If they keep devaluing our money and charging us interest on the money that they created out of thin air by counterfeiting it, and you can go look in the colonies, it said the counterfeiting was death on some of the money, and there was a reason why, because the guys who are counterfeiting the money and charging interest, which, by the way, as our debt goes way up and we're in the trillions and, what, 37 trillion or something now, soon to be,
yeah,
whatever it
easy.
Is, we owe interest on that whole debt. So they have to borrow more to pay the interest on the debt. And so what you've got is perpetual debt slavery. Do you get it?
Well, and that's the thing right now. So we're
Ponzi
specifically
scheme.
What was that?
I said Ponzi scheme.
So specifically right now, the national debt is at almost $35 trillion. But the problem that nobody's really talking about, you have all of these unfunded liabilities that, okay, so our U.S. national assets for everything in the entirety of the United States is $204 trillion. Our unfunded liabilities currently is $215 trillion. In other words, that breaks down per citizen of $605,000 in assets and $638,000 in liabilities. That's bankrupt.
Why does
but everybody misses. Guess who pays for it? Who is paying all of this?
We are. Our grandkids
yes,
are. Our kids' kids' kids.
Exactly. No. It just goes on and on and on.
No, we're not. I'm getting Social Security.
Yeah, okay.
Good luck. I bet you I would not see a cent of that in my life.
Well, you might, but you might yeah. have a nice big fat Social Security check. You know, maybe you're going to get a $3,000 a month or something, but a loaf of bread's $50 at that point. So it's kind of like, it doesn't really matter even if you get it, does it? And we'll just keep printing.
I'm still starving.
Well, here's the problem, and here's what I see. You end up seeing the welfare go down in certain cities for only about 2 hours, and there's mass riots and looting. They're lighting stores on fire and killing people because they can't get food for 2 hours, and it was just a blip on the radar. Who do you think they're more likely to take the money from when we don't have any more money to do it? Grandma and grandpa who aren't going to end up fighting back, or the people who are going to burn the freaking city down?
Well, it's interesting that you talk about that. I saw a clip this morning where they're actually, the guys that are going and looting the stores are actually opening up their own markets on the sidewalks, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then reselling all the goods that they just stole. And then it's racism. They're closing all the stores down and wherever because they're racist. It couldn't be the fact that we looted them out of business and are reselling their goods.
That's kind of the way it goes. I mean, look at San Francisco. Look at how many stores have closed. Look at Walmart. Walk in and see. Try to go to the locked section that's locked up and spend 25 minutes there waiting for somebody. And then they clearance everything out so they can just get rid of it anyway because they can't sell it.
Well, everything's getting where it's locked up.
This is what so I went to a Walmart in Arizona. And this is the music you played. Yeah, Yeah, it was the creepy organ thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what it meant, but I looked around and went, I'm never coming back here again. This is scary.
So I'm in there the other day, and I'm talking to one of the employees, and he's telling me a bunch of the crap that's going on. He's basically saying how a bunch of this stuff is clearanced out because they don't have enough people to be able to help everybody out. And now at the busiest times of the day, they're closing down the self-checkouts because there's so much theft from everybody going on. And then the other thing he said that I found very interesting is, you know those little stupid areas that are on the sidewalk when you walk out of there? It goes...
For the blind people?
The irritating...
Supposed to be?
Apparently not for the blind people.
It's supposed to be, but it's...
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
So what he told me...
What, are you supposed to be on your hands and knees filling the dots to make sure you're not in the street?
So what he told me is, that is the line that if you cross that, you're instantly fired.
Oh, having stuff in your cart that you're not supposed to?
Yeah, and he actually said even the police departments are not supposed to go after anybody past that point in time. So it's like this little race get past the yellow line?
So what if I bring my own mirror and a cup of water and I just get some razors and some shave?
But have you seen...
I don't cross the line, but I'm out there shaving, and maybe I should get something to eat, and I'll camp out there and eat a little.
But specifically what I'm meaning is the employees cannot cross the line. They can't go over that line, or they will be fired for trying to see maybe the license plate or trying to go after the individuals to stop them. If they pass that line, they're done.
But now, did you see where they have where it will automatically do the item? As soon as you take it off the shelf, it will go to your phone and charge you for that item when you put it in your cart. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
Yes, they're trying to do that. That is a new thing that they're trying to do. I don't know if it's Walmart, but it's the stores.
I know Amazon's been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And so
that's a scary little thing going on there, too.
Should I play the creepy organ music?
Yeah, I mean, hello?
Well, they've also been doing it, too, to where you're paid by your handprint. So you register your handprint there, and then...
I don't think so.
Well, that was one of the things I was seeing.
I know. I think we got to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
$30,000 anniversary swipe to win drawing. Swipe your River Club card daily to win free slot play, free drawing entries, or other instant prizes. Play any of your favorite slot machines and table games with your River Club card to earn entries. Join us for weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. for your chance to win free slot play or up to $3,100 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
With the World Economic Forum that'll forget to mention social credits implementing the score. If you kicked out, then you poor. Card getting declined at the store. They got us divided and fighting, distracting us from the war. Poison our food and our water, confusing our sons and our daughters. You'll own nothing and be happy, convincing you less is more. Controlling the population, creating an impatient nation. Have you complacent and placing a trusting government agency? What George Orwell had written today is no longer fiction. They implemented a system that put us all in a prison. Once you eat bugs in a pod, not taking care of your body, no religion and worshiping government and not God.
Everything we eat, GMO. They got us all grabbing electric control of where that you go. I ain't riding with Biden and I ain't trusting Trudeau. But in fact, all these politicians, the wet faced around the globe. Taxing our carbon emissions, they don't want you guarding your children. They don't want you having no knowledge. They want us all in a prison. Tend to confusing the youth. Their agenda is proof. I don't trust these fact checkers every time they sense it the truth. How we overpopulated if our birth rate is freaking? Go ahead, ignore your instinct. Morals right down the sink. All the freedoms that you thought you had, they're gone in a blink. Sir, you're under arrest. You've had too much to think.
Big brother, we don't love you no more.
Sovereign Minds, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Talk radio, radio.
Okay.
So one of the last things in that song,
Wino Radio. What?
One of those last things in the song was talking about birth rates. Right. And so postmillennial ended up having one. Politico says making babies is far right as low birth rates lead to population collapse. So Politico ends up coming out and running this article where you ended up having this national convention where people were coming in and discussing about how the birth rate collapse in the United States is really going to end up leading to some huge problems, and we're already starting to see it.
Well, you got the replacement theory, and we want to talk about that a little bit. I did get a clip from Dick the other day that's pretty good. About from a gal over in the Netherlands, I believe it is, talking about how there's more illegal aliens in the country in, I don't know, Sweden and Finland and Denmark or wherever it was, than there are actual citizens there. And if they give those guys the right to vote, you don't have a country anymore. Gee, I wonder
what's going on here?
Yeah, nothing to see here. So,
yeah, the population problem couldn't be anything about transgender, could it?
Well, see,
if all guys are becoming girls.
So here's the thing.
You're not wrong.
The Democrats have gone crazy. They're starting to eat their own because, and we're seeing more and more of it, but they're nuts. Okay. Uh-huh. They are absolutely nuts, the platforms that they support. Open borders, let all the illegal aliens come in, give them voting rights so you don't have a country anymore. Kill children in or out of the womb. Take your pick. You know, some of them say is out of the womb even is fine. So what kind of a platform? Let's see, open borders, killing babies. Let's see, whacking off your hee-haws and your woo-wahs. I mean, what? Tax everybody into servitude because we need to raise the tax to get those evil corporations. Only the idiots don't realize that we is they. Because if you raise the taxes on corporations and go up to 45% like Joe Biden's talking about, what do you think? The corporations are going to pay the tax, you idiots?
Where do you think they're going to go?
Mm-hmm. Where do you think corporations get all their money from? They raise their prices.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're evil, right? It couldn't be the fact that the government's out of control, and let's just keep handing them more. Every platform that the Democrats are espousing right now is absolute freaking suicidal lunacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at it too, and so my wife and I had the opportunity to attend that event with Moms for Liberty and Chloe Cole and the doctor who was there. That was really good. Great attendance. It was an awesome event.
Good.
The movie itself was one of those ones that just really opens your eyes if you have never seen it before. So you had a autistic girl who was 12 years old, not Chloe Cole, who was one of the people, but her story was just insanity. So her story is she's 12 years old, she's feeling awkward and having social anxiety about puberty, basically, as any kid would. And she's also autistic. So one of these teachers pulls her aside and brings her into this group. And the group is not allowed to be known by any of the other teachers. They don't even advocate for where it's held at. So you basically can't find out. You don't know where it's at. And you got these group of kids.
See, these people are criminals.
Are doing that.
These people are freaking
criminals.
They're beyond
criminals.
They're evil criminals.
It's evil, yeah.
Well, let me get to the point that's truly, truly heinous and evil. So,
but they don't think evil's evil. They
start,
think evil is good.
They start telling this girl that she is the opposite sex and the opposite gender. They affirm first day, even when she didn't say it. We even have video to where like, no, I wasn't quite sure on it.
Affirming is now the new pretending. It's kind of like I've decided to affirm you as a starfish, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so 5 months later, the mom finds out because the school calls her up and says, "Hey, your son Evan's missing from class." And, "Oh, I'm sorry. I think you have the wrong person." "No, you mean Alicia or whatever her name is." Okay, so then she starts trying to figure this out and starts going to try to say like, "Hey, no, I want to have this conversation with my daughter. We need to talk about this." And that's when the state steps in and takes her daughter away from her.
Yes,
and then they're going to say it's the parents' fault when they go down there and go ballistic on some of these people.
Well, and so they take the daughter away, and in the state of California, you cannot say anything except affirm the gender of the child. So as soon as the child has any type of concept or thought or anything else.
Kind of like a gag order, you know?
That's exactly what it is. And so if you as a physician say anything other than that, they'll take your license away. So you're left with these situations where the only other people that get to speak out on it are people that look at the information and say, gee, once they transition, they have a 70% higher chance of suicide than otherwise. And so the tragic
because a lot of them wake up and go, that was a mistake. Now,
well,
when they develop some maturity and actually clear thinking thought processes of actual, you know, what reality is in the world and what's going on, there's no do-over.
Well, stop and think about it. How confusing is that for a mind that's developing that nature is saying your body is one thing and you're going through certain changes naturally, and you're reversing that or changing it.
Well, that
totally has got to, like, screw the brain.
You've just totally made the case for Biden's cabinet.
Well, and so this story ends up leading on to say, all right, so they took the child away from the mother. The mother now is not able to be a part of the child's life. They even took away her 1 day a week visit because she still would basically talk to her about God. And they said, you can't talk about God. You can't do anything like that. You have to affirm the gender. Otherwise, we're going to take her away completely.
Well, because the state becomes God, and that's the ultimate goal here.
Ultimately. So they did. And that 12-year-old, 2 years later, took her life.
Yeah.
That's happening a lot. It's
well,
so sad and sickening.
These people are, oh, there's no such thing as God. There's no religion. Let's make the state it. And it's like, so if there's no God, there's no religion, there's no faith, and none of that matters, but we want to put all of our faith in a few men who have historically been an evil group of people that have taken advantage of their whole population, either through stealing their wealth, sending them to wars, you know, putting in servitude, making slaves out of everybody. Those are the guys we should put our trust in, not a set of rules that we all need to follow.
Well, and you would think that would be the case, but unfortunately, in this day and age, what you've said is exactly nail on the head. For the last, probably, I'd say, almost going on 100 years now, you've had a concerted effort to go through and make the state God. And that brings me to one of the things that we're...
Who's funding these guys?
One of the things that we're seeing right now in regards to Congress basically trying to, in essence... One of the things that could be possible is they could be removing the New Testament based upon...
I saw that, but...
So this is the actual thing. This is the wording on it, and this is the area that's particularly concerning. using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claiming Jews killing Jesus or the blood libel to the characters of Israel or Israelis. So the problem is in the New Testament, we do see that that ended up taking place. So under that, the New Testament and also portions of the Quran would have to be taken away. You can't talk about them. You can't do anything by law. Now, there's already things that are in place in order to prevent people from taking physical action against any race, minority, creed, or gender.
Unless you're white and a Nazi. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. No, the Nazis are the one. Can you tell the difference between the Gaza protesters and Nazis? Because didn't the Nazis want to kill all the Jews, too?
Well, there's that, but also, I mean, in regards to these other ones, I have one from today's date, and this is from the Gateway Pundit. Deported terrorist speaks to Hamas-endorsed encampment at University of Chicago. So, Al Aran, a former University of South Florida professor, was indicted in February 2003 on 17 counts under the Patriot Act. A jury acquitted him on 8 counts and deadlocked on remaining 9 counts. He later struck a plea bargain and admitted to one of the remaining charges in exchange for being released and deported. He was deported to Turkey on February 4, 2015. Al Aran was accused of aiding terrorists in February 2003. He was charged with racketeering for Palestine Islamic Jihad. The Gateway Pundit reported that his wife, Natalie Nadir, was pictured protesting at Columbia University campus as central banks stockpile gold. The Christian that was a advertisement. Got me. Chicago United for Palestine, which organized the campus encampment, announced Al Haran's participation in a Zoom meeting in their Instagram. Today we'll have the honor of being joined by Dr. Sami Al Aran, a former professor at computer engineering, prominent speaker and human rights activist and U.S. political prisoner, the group wrote. Dr. Al Haran has since been relocated to Turkey, where he's the director for Center for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul Zam University. Nothing to see here.
Nope. So let's go back. I want to go back, and I want to play the trailer for Finding the Money, because I think that our theory here and our sort of our theme is a little bit is that where's all the money coming from? Who's funding all these things? We're finding out more and more that a lot of this stuff is being funded by outside forces.
You mean like China?
Oh, I don't know. China, Soros, World Health Organization.
Oh, yes.
The World Economic Forum, you know, all those
Gates,
kinds.
Yeah.
And I wonder where are they getting all their money? All right, here we go. This is a trailer from Finding the Money. I haven't watched this, but I want to get it on the radar anyway, and then we'll go forward.
Nothing.
Life with one eye shut and one eye open, and we're only getting half the picture.
I'm going to start that over. Here we go.
So much of the public discourse, it's like we're going through life with one eye shut and one eye open, and we're only getting half the picture. And then somebody like me comes in and says, well, let's make sure we see the full picture. People naturally think, wait, government deficit, that, this is a negative thing. Let's stop this right now. And I say, hang on, let's open the other eye.
The government debt is not a burden on anyone.
The national debt is exactly the opposite of what the Orthodox story tells us.
This modern monetary
theory.
What is MMT about, and why has it suddenly exploded?
The last thing we need is some harebrained theory.
We're broke. America's broke.
Congress has spent all the money.
Does the government have to borrow dollars? No, of course not.
They don't find the money, they create it.
Is that what they do?
Where does money come from?
There's a theory that says we should not be looking too closely at money.
Didn't they tell you? You never touch the money question.
You're going to scare the hell out of everyone.
You could take the national debt clock that scares everyone and just rename it the U.S. dollar savings clock. So now don't you feel better?
The true story of money is not the story that I've been told.
So that's called Finding the Money. You can get it on YouTube. I think it's on Prime Video. You might want to watch that and see.
But once again, you know, the things that we've been told, the stories we've been told, we're finding out it's the opposite of what's really going on.
Oh, no, it's not a problem.
And they always call it money. It's not money.
It's currency.
Currency.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
So there is, in regards to that also, and in regards to stuff that came out, there's a new Blaze Media documentary that ended up coming out, and it is in regards to both Democrats and Republicans getting filthy rich during their time.
No.
And so a lot of it, too, when you start looking at it, it's disgusting, and even the people that are in on it are like, yeah, I did this, and this is bad, but you got to look at this. But even the people that are ratting on themselves are like, yeah, I made all this oodles and oodles of money. And it's like Nancy Pelosi. All right, she's the world's greatest stock trader. You only make about 200 and something thousand annually in there, yet she's worth $71 million. How does that work?
Well, it's,
you go to work for the government, you get rich.
Well, it's kind of like Hunter's, you know, so we get a contrast here. So Trump overvalued his real estate because he's an evil rich guy.
Bad.
But Biden, Hunter Biden's art is worth $1.5 million a picture because he's an artiste.
So this is actually way worse than this. I'm on Matt Gaetz's website right now. Republican Gaetz, a Representative Gaetz, takes Pelosi on Polos on a tour of Capitol Hill, walking past or visiting the offices of some of the worst stock trading offenders, including Senator Bob Menendez, currently under federal indictment for bribery.
Oh, Bob's a great guy. Stop it.
Yeah.
Representative Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California,
great,
whose
great
net
gal.
Worth was skyrocketed in the last 15 years from $21 million in 2008 to somewhere between $300 and $350 million, the documentary claimed. Some of the names mentioned, however, are less familiar to the public, including Representative Michael Guest, Republican in Missouri, Representative Josh Gothmer, Democrat, New Jersey, who reported he sold his stock of Silicon Valley Bank the day before the bank collapsed in March 2023. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican Alabama, who sits on several influential committees such as the Armed Services Committee and Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. It's less about the insider trading, although that's a thing, but more about the fact that members of Congress have inherent conflict of interest, said Roy, who has reportedly introduced failed legislation co-sponsored by Democrat Representative Abigail Spanberg of Virginia that would prohibit equities trading for members of Congress and their immediate families. That seems kind of like a pretty basic thing to do. If you're voting on whether or not, I don't know, if T-Mobile can end up buying Sprint and you end up buying a bunch of Sprint the week before you end up having that deal go through, and now all of a sudden you've made literally like three times your money that week because you voted on it, kind of seems like a conflict of interest. Just maybe.
Well, I got a question. Are those the same names that are on the Epstein list?
Yeah, you'd think about it. I mean, it's...
I'm just asking for a friend. I mean, it seems like a lot of them are.
Well, it's all of these things. So I got another one from May 3rd. Representative Henry Cooler and wife indicted for allegedly accepting $600,000 in foreign bribes to influence policy. Congressman Enrico Roberto Henry Cooler, 68, and his wife, Imelda Cooler, both of Laredo, Texas, were charged on Friday with two schemes involving bribery, unlawful foreign influence, and money laundering. According to charging documents, beginning in at least December 2014 and continuing through at least November 21, Congressman Cooler and Imelda Cooler allegedly accepted approximately $600,000 bribes from two foreign entities, an oil and gas company who is wholly owned and controlled by the government of Aljerzaban, I can't pronounce that, and a bank headquartered in Mexico City. The Department of Justice said in a press release, the bribe payments were allegedly laundered pursuant to a sham consulting contracts through a series of front companies and middlemen into shell companies owned by Imelda Cooler, who provided little to no legitimate work under the contracts. In exchange for the bribes paid by the Albigani Oil and Gas Company, Congressman Cooler allegedly agreed to use his office to influence the U.S. policy in favor of Aljaban. In exchange for bribes paid by the Mexican bank, Congressman Cooler allegedly agreed to influence legislative activity and advise, pressure high-ranking U.S. officials and executive branch officials regarding measures beneficial to the bank.
See, nobody can seem to answer the one simple question about Joe Biden and the bribe thing.
Mm-hmm.
What were you selling? Mm-hmm. I mean, what product did you have? What service were you providing? Consultation?
We already know that portion of it was American Jobs. That was a portion of it, for sure. I want to know.
So
I want to know during that time that he and his son shared an office with the Chinese Communist Party members. How much of classified documentations and how many lives were lost based upon that intelligence? How many trade secrets were lost? And also the same goes for the situations with the Russians.
Interesting. So I want to get back to top. I got another clip to play here. This is Jim Jordan, and this is one of a former top Biden official on the censorship. And that's why I kind of wanted to hit a little bit on the censorship, because the reason that the Democrats out there and the progressives out there are so, I mean, there's two classes out there. You got the guys that know what's going on, have a little bit of intelligence, have done some homework, and don't care. They are mad at the United States. They think communism is going to be the way to go. They think total government control, they're going to be the ones in charge, so that it's going to turn into utopia and have they forget about all the people that end up dying in that thing. But,
which could include them.
But that doesn't matter. But they're just, and then there's the other ones that are completely duped with information that is completely false. And, you know, you talk about misinformation and disinformation and what the difference is. And so this is in the other day. This is up on the Hill. And this is about the weaponization of the government as it relates to censorship on the social medias. And I think this says a lot about what's going on. This is about a 3-minute clip, and that ought to get us about to the top of the hour, and then we'll go from there. Here we go. Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. Seelman. We'll now proceed with 5-minute questions. Mr. Flaherty, when the Biden administration told Americans that the vaccinated couldn't get the virus, were they guessing or lying?
Congressman, I think first of all, it's important to remember my role in this discussion, which is as a communicator on behalf of
you. You work for the Biden administration, you're assistant to the president. It's a simple question. When they told the American people that if you get the vaccine, you will not get the virus, was that a guess or was that a lie?
Congressman, we were communicating on behalf of the administration. We were communicating the best information provided by some of the best medical scientists in the world in Atlanta, Bethesda, and beyond.
Let me ask you a simple question. Can people who got the vaccine, could they still get the virus?
Congressman, again, I'm not here as a medical expert.
No, that's as common. Everyone knows that. Of course they can. I'm just asking you a simple question. Well, let me do it this way. What's the definition of misinformation?
Congressman, certainly there's different and varying definitions of mis and disinformation. At the end of the day, the platform.
Tell me the difference. Tell me what misinformation is.
Congressman, these are decisions that the platforms ultimately get to make about how.
I'm not asking. I'm asking a question. What's misinformation?
Well, Congressman, I think it's important in the context of these.
How about you, Professor? Can you tell me what misinformation is?
I assume it would be saying something was completely untrue.
Saying something that's untrue, but with no intent. No intent. Disinformation, this is what all the misinformation experts tell us. Misinformation, saying something that's not accurate. Disinformation, saying something that's not accurate with the intent to mislead. Right?
That sounds right to me.
You agree, Mr. Seligman? That's the common definition in the misinformation industry out there?
Yes, my understanding.
Okay, that's the definition. So now, Mr. Floyd, how about this question? When the Biden administration told the American people that the vaccinated couldn't get the virus, was it misinformation or disinformation?
Congressman, again, we were communicating the best medical research that we had at the time on behalf of a group of some of the best doctors in the world in Atlanta and Bethesda.
When the Biden administration told the American people that the virus didn't come from a lab, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Congressman, again, I can't speak to discussions that were had on that topic. It's been a couple of years, but again, generally.
The White House put pressure on us to censor the lab leak theory. Mm-hmm. This was something the White House cared about, so much so that Facebook was having, the top people at Facebook were having a group discussion on it.
I'm just asking,
when they said that, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Congressman, I can't recall the specific example.
When the Biden administration said that masks work, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Again, Congressman, we were communicating the best research at the time, but I also believe that was a discussion that began in the previous administration as well.
How about what Professor Zawicki brought up, Mr. Flaherty? When the White House said there was no such thing as natural immunity, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Again, Congressman, I am not a medical expert, and my job is to communicate on behalf of a team of medical experts.
So you weren't a medical expert, but you could suggest to Facebook that they needed to change their algorithm so that the American people would not see stuff from the Daily Wire. They'd only see stuff from the New York Times. You can do that. But you can't tell me if they were guessing or lying when they said something that was absolutely not true.
Well, again, Congressman, my role was as a communicator on behalf of the best information available. And the role of the platforms was to have a set of policies that they enforced on their own. And that, you know, my engagement with them had, you know, no bearing on what they're...
No bearing? No bearing?
Well, Congressman, again...
Third day. Who's Clark Humphrey?
Clark Humphrey was the digital director for the...
We'll play the last couple minutes after the top of the hour.
All right. We're going to go to a break, and we will see you in about 5 minutes.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. Major political polls show a lead for former President Trump over President Biden in a multi-candidate race.
Now, with 6 months until Election Day in November, the Real Clear Politics average of 10 national polls has Mr. Trump ahead of Mr. Biden by more than 3% in a race among three other candidates, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Rasmussen Reports shows the widest margin at 12%, with CNN showing Mr. Trump with a 9% lead, and the Harvard-Harris poll showing Mr. Trump with a 7% lead. Only the NBC poll has a lead for Mr. Biden at 2%. Separately, Real Clear Politics shows Mr. Biden's job approval at 40%, 4 points lower than Mr. Trump at a similar point in their first terms. George Williams reporting.
Meanwhile, President Biden raised eyebrows last week when he described two U.S. allies as xenophobic countries. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton has that.
The surprising comments came during a fundraiser here in Washington when the president argued that migration has been good for the U.S. economy. He said that Japan and India were struggling economically because they're xenophobic countries that do not welcome immigrants. Both nations are U.S. allies, and the president's remarks came just 3 weeks after Mr. Biden hosted the Japanese prime minister for a lavish official visit. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his government has voted unanimously to shutter the offices of the Qatar-owned broadcaster Al Jazeera in Israel. He announced the decision on social media today. It's gone into effect immediately. The vote comes amid deeply strained ties between Israel and the channel. Boeing has locked out its private force of firefighters who protect its plants in the Seattle area and brought in replacements after failed negotiations with the firefighters' union. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Our government has engorged itself on borrowed money. Now we are over $30 trillion in debt. If this bubble finally implodes, many Americans would be left penniless and heartbroken. For example, what happens if state and federal pension funds go broke? Or 401ks and IRAs get cut in half due to hyperinflation. Hi, I'm Lance Wolnow, news analyst, best-selling author, and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. People who understand something big is coming. Now's the time to prepare with a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Precious metals are among the most proven hedges you can make. And they're even better inside a tax advantage account. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached, so just text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you are blessed with continued prosperity.
A political candidate in Germany comes under attack.
A German political candidate is attacked while campaigning. A candidate for German Chancellor Olaf Scholz's party in the upcoming European elections was beaten up and seriously injured while campaigning in the eastern city of Dresden. The Social Democrats say Matthias Ecke was attacked while putting up campaign posters. He was taken to hospital, requiring surgery for his injuries. German government and opposition parties say their members and supporters are more frequently facing physical and verbal attacks. They're calling on police to step up protection for politicians and during election rallies. Mimi Montgomery.
Australian officials say a 16-year-old boy armed with a knife has been shot dead by police after he stabbed a man in the west coast city of Perth. The incident occurred in the parking lot of a hardware store in suburban Willetton and happened last night. The young man had apparently been radicalized, we're told. News and analysis at townhall.com. 20 years after Poland joined the European Union, its finance minister says the country is still not ready to adopt the euro.
The finance minister in the pro-European Union government of Prime Minister Donald Tusk said that membership of the Eurozone was not justified at this time. He said he believed that having its own currency helped Poland avoid recession during the global financial crisis and weather other shocks. The euro is the currency of 20 EU members.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, May the 5th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Lance Henriksen, 84 years old is he. Former broadcast journalist John Miller turns 66, while broadcaster Brian Williams celebrates today his 65th. Actor Henry Cavill, Superman, 71 years old, figure skater Nathan Chan is 25. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long, for so long. Listening to the stranger stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long, for so long.
Free Fire Media, Community Radio for the North State. I want to finish playing this clip with Jim Jordan and the weaponization of our government about censorship, and then I want to play the town hall as well. So here we go. Let's finish it out.
Work with her?
Yes, Congressman, I did.
Part of a White House operation in the same area, right? You worked with her?
Congressman, she worked in a similar area.
Yeah, okay. And when she said on the third day of the Biden administration, wanted to flag the below tweet, wondering if you can get moving on the process for having it removed ASAP. That's not trying to impact what the platforms do. That's not telling the platform what kind of speech can be out there.
Congressman, again, we had the ability to flag whatever we wanted, and the platforms had an ability to say no. I can't speak to whether or not they took any action on the particular.
Well, no, if they said no, they get the President of the United States says Facebook's killing people. They obviously felt the pressure. That's why they're having that group text conversation. How about this one? When the Biden administration told the American people the border is secure, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Congressman, again, I'm here to discuss my engagements with social media platforms.
I'm just asking. You were in the Biden administration when these kind of statements were being made. How about this one? When the Biden administration said the Inflation Reduction Act will actually reduce inflation, was that misinformation or disinformation?
Congressman, again, I'm here to discuss my interactions with social media companies.
Let me go back to the first question in the last 13 seconds. Any chance you'll answer one question for me? When the Biden administration told the American people that the vaccinated couldn't get the virus, were they guessing or lying?
Congressman, we were communicating on behalf of the best medical research that we had available at the time.
All right.
So this is what censorship creates. It creates morons and useful idiots, because what they do, you know, this gaslighting, what it does is it has to have some elements. One is you got to lie, and you got to lie some more. But one of the biggest elements of gaslighting is to isolate the targets from any other information. So by discrediting and calling anything else that contradicts their story with any facts, you know, that's fake news, if you will, their conspiracy theories or whatever, but discrediting any other information that might counter your argument, what you do is you create people, these isolated targets, these useful idiots that go around and won't listen to anything but the preferred outlet. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the problem. You know, that's why we've got to, you know, address this stuff. I guess we have a caller.
We do have a caller. I'm not sure who it is, but caller, are you there?
quick draws here.
Yeah, it's quick straw.
What can we do for you?
Hey, I got a few items, but I'll try to go quickly. Hey, there's first of all, quick announcement. There's a Cottonwood Community Fundraiser happening on May 31st. It's going to benefit several businesses and the community in general, and it's happening on May 31st. By the, gosh darn it, it's the Elk, gosh, oh, the Turkey Federation, thank you. So look up Turkey Federation, click on events, and then look for the Cottonwood event. It's a dinner and a fundraiser, auction, all kind of fun stuff. So that's on May 31st. Hey, so quick update. We were able to get Alan Long served this past week. So now, regarding the elections contest for Dr. Laura Hobbs, so we should see some movement quickly as far as getting an initial court hearing date now. Now that all parties have been served, so hopefully we'll hear something on that this week. And because the law is pretty specific as far as when they're supposed to set a hearing, and then a couple other issues on. So, as you know, right, Kathy Allen, there's nothing darling about her, just retired. The registrar, the board supervisors are going to be entertaining interviews. That's great. I hope they're going to fill that position sooner than later. We're almost out of time. However, we can put in some election reform for November. The key is, you have to write your boards of supervisors and tell them what you want done for election fairness and transparency. Thank you. And that's the key. They're not going to do it unless you contact your board members. So please contact them now and let them know that you want certain things done for fairness and transparency. Hopefully we'll get a decent registrar of voters in.
What do you think those certain things should be, Rich?
Well, I have a very long list, but let's just make it a short list. So, we need to separate our ballots for the local races. We need to take 100% control of the local ballot. We'll let the state and fed ballot do its own thing. It's going to minimize legal liability if we do that. And everything that goes along with that, controlling our own voter rolls for the local ballot. There's all kinds of things that can be done discretionary. Some of it will buck the system, yes. But you know what? The system is so ingrained with fraud that anything we try to do for fairness and transparency will buck the system because the system is 99% fraudulent. But again, the key is to call your board of supervisors and tell them. Give them some ideas what you want done for, at least for the local races. That's where we save our country anyways, is at the local level first. So let's start that with the local ballot. And then the next thing is, I was hearing another show this morning and, they were talking about, being, open-minded and talking with all parties and let's just, sing Kumbaya, can we all get along? And I don't know. I think that's ignorance and naivete. And this is why I say that. The conservative Republicans have been compromising with the left for decades. And every time there's a compromise made, the needle moves left. And so now our country and our state, everything happening is extreme leftist, progressive, socialist, Marxist, go down the list. And that's because we've been compromising too much. It's time to start moving the needle to the right. Because the needle's almost pegged to the left, almost pegged out. So there's only one way for the needle to move, almost. And it's just unfortunate that I think some people are thinking we can compromise and come to some kind of conclusions with these leftists. The question, the basic question, if I was an elected official and I had to make a vote on something, I would say, look, Does this maintain or strengthen individual sovereignty, local control, and the original U.S. and state constitution? The original state constitution was actually a pretty good document. It's the 500 amendments that screwed it up. And that's the question, right? Let's stop governing by feelings and emotions. Let's start governing by logic and reason and the constitutions. And That's the first question should be had. I mean, it's amazing that, unfortunately, there's some people that think we can just get along with people, but look where we're at after decades of just getting along, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I think that the pendulum is turning the other way regardless. I mean, if getting along with them is fine, but not going along with their policies is and reversing them is the deal.
Well, how do you get along with somebody? Let's just say this. Let's say it's a left and a right issue. How do you get along with a leftist who wants to vote policies and laws that take away your property, your sovereignty, your rights, right? Second Amendment, First Amendment, whatever. How do you get along with somebody like that that wants to take your stuff?
I guess it depends on your definition of getting along. I mean, am I going to go out there and start a fist fight? Probably not. Am I going to fight tooth and nail to reverse any policy that they have? Yes, absolutely. That's what we've been doing on the show for years. So I guess it just depends on what you want to say getting along is.
Well, you know, I consider people that want to take my stuff, that's my property, my sovereignty, my rights, I consider them my enemy.
I agree.
And while I'm not a practicing Christian, I'm absolutely a believer, and I believe there's some scripture, something like, love your enemy as yourself, something like that.
I think that's love your neighbor.
I'm not going to be very godly in that respect. I do not love my enemies.
I want
to destroy me and my family.
I don't think it says that, Rich.
I'm not going to love them. I'm going to fight them as the adversaries they are.
I don't think it says love your enemies, Rich. I think it says love your neighbors. I don't think that's the right quotation.
Well, your neighbors could be your enemy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you on the enemy, and I agree with what you're saying, and I agree with that. We haven't got to the point where there's actual physical violence, and that's kind of what I'm saying getting along. We've got to try to solve this administratively, legislatively, legally, as much as we can, because when you go past that, there's no turning back. If it gets ugly, it gets violent, there's no turning back.
Well, the violence already happened. I mean, it's happened over the decades, but the most recent example would be the 2020 riots and burning down federal buildings and killing cops. And this summer is going to be, the predictions are this summer is going to be, it's going to be worse, but of course, you know, we're not going to know until it's over. But I mean, the point is that the violence already started, right? And people were up in arms about somebody pepper spraying somebody. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, I
think the guy deserved to be pepper sprayed. I hope somebody does it again, quite frankly. But what I'm saying is that, you know, let's get through the process. Let's see if we can get this election turned over. I think it's going to get ugly no matter what between here and there or afterwards, because if Trump doesn't win, we know they're cheating, because the polls are overwhelmingly showing that Trump is the person that's going to get reelected. If Biden wins, the right's going to be saying they cheated, no question about it. If Trump wins, the left's going to say that, you know,
and
it's going to get ugly no matter what. Anyway.
Yeah, well, again, the way we fix this is at the local level. That's what the Mulder recall was about.
I totally agree. That's what we're doing.
That was only the beginning. That recall was only the beginning. We're talking generations after of work after that recall. Just one last thing. We're still waiting for the final version from the registrar's office. We're still waiting for the final completed version of the audit log and the cast vote record. We have 5.5 or 6 weeks after the certification of the election. Why were those records not 100% completed and available for public release on the day of certification? What are they doing with those records? Why are they still, what are they doing with them 6 weeks later? Just a question.
Do they have a...
We need an answer from now Joanna. Joanna needs to be in front of the Board of Supervisors answering those questions. Why are those records still not complete and or released to
the
public?
There is a meeting on Tuesday, and I think they're going to be talking and discussing what they're going to do about a new ROV, because Mrs. Kathy, whatever, is going to be gone, and so that might be a good time to bring it up.
To inform the public of what their procedure is going to be to replace.
Well, I'm just saying that'd be a good time to bring it up. Anyway, we got another caller, so unless you got something else, Rich.
Thank you for the time.
All right, thanks for calling in. And my question would be, is what kind of time frame does she have to produce the records?
I don't know.
That?
I haven't been there for a month or so because of our work and stuff.
Well,
so I'm going to try to get back involved and see what's going
on. To his point that they should have already been. It shouldn't take this long in order
to obtain
the information.
Well, they're going to slow walk everything. It's called stonewalling, and we already know what the deal is. They're not operating on and they're supposed to be operating for the whole county. They're not. She's operating for the left side of the county. Anyway, let's go to our caller.
Hey, good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, you?
I never stopped.
Good. Anyway, Linda Payne on the program before that we pre-recorded answered a lot of those questions. Legally, they can't even destroy those records, but that's a whole lot different thing. If the folks listen to that program, they'll hear that. But I agree with Rich. I mean, I think what Rich is trying to say, and he's saying it with a lot of passion, but what he's trying to say is that we're trying to convince people that will never be convinced.
Absolutely.
Those people are diametrically opposed to what we want to do. We will solve nothing legislatively in the state because of the ratio of Democrats to Republicans. And the Democrats are hardline. And when you have a 4-to-1 ratio or a 5-to-1 ratio, you're not going to pass anything legislatively. And I agree with you, Mark. I think that if Trump gets elected, it might get ugly. If Trump doesn't get elected, I think it'll really get ugly.
Right.
So I think that the right has an opportunity now. Conservatives, people that are loving their freedom and their liberty in America, have an opportunity now really to stand up, but we're not going to convince these people, and I'm with Rich, I'm kind of tired of hearing it. I hear it from all over the state, from all over the United States. You know, it's kind of like, gee whiz, you know, we have to talk to them and bring them awareness and educate them.
No,
they don't care.
No,
they
really
don't care.
No, it's like we were talking about earlier. These guys don't care. There's a faction that don't want to be educated, don't care, don't want any new information, don't care about facts. They have an agenda, and that's it. The only ones that you might get to, and that's a lot of the reason that we talk about some of this stuff, is the people that are waffling, that have been either brainwashed, don't have enough information. There's a few of those, but in general, I think that we've got the sides are divided into the camps that they're going to be.
Well, you know, it's sort of like in the old song by Stephen Stills and Buffalo Springfield, you know, battle lines have been drawn, and I think that that's already done. I don't think that there's a lot of change you're going to see here. I do understand that there's a lot more independence. They're going to the American Independent Party in droves, especially in California. But I think those people are moderate anyway. A lot of those people, I'm sure, voted for Trump to begin with.
Right.
And maybe a lot of them didn't. But the point being is that a lot of the things that are being changed, and I think with this, to a point, I think the Independent Party is doing us, and Decline to State is doing us a favor, in that people are just sort of maybe tired of one party or the other, but maybe they'll start voting for the man and voting for the person who's going to help them regain their liberty the most.
Well, I think we're seeing a big shift in the polls for a lot of the different sections, Hispanic, Black, the younger students, because they're starting to wake up to the fact that they have been lied to. You know, there's certain people that don't care, but then there's a lot of them that have been swallowing the Kool-Aid that are starting to figure out that the Kool-Aid tastes like crap.
Yeah, you know, but anyway, I think Rich is right about what he's saying. I think that you get to a point where you're trying to persuade people. Or, you know, you have this program and that program, and then you listen to theirs and they listen to yours, and then everybody gets into a pissing match and you don't solve anything. I think that the ones that will, the ones that won't, so what? You get the ones that will, and those are the ones that are going to be going down the road for liberty and regaining their liberty they have in their country.
Well, I agree, and I think
pretty much yes. So
I think the thrust of our shows there's a lot of things going on here, a lot of moving parts, but I think the thrust of my show has been for a long time is get prepared, get involved, and no matter what happens, you need to be ready and understand what the lay of the land is, what the battlefield looks like.
But you have
I
to
think
do
you're
it
100% right.
Locally, you have to start at the local level.
Well, I know we had a talk about that. I mean, there's a lot of things going on the border with a lot of different states and
right.
blah, blah, blah. Even some countries, Canada, Mexico, and the United States on the borders. There's people getting together, trying to lock arm in arm, stand shoulder to shoulder against the tyranny of what's coming across our borders, especially in San Ysidro. That's the largest port of entry in the entire world. And, it's insane what's going on. But the point is that people locally have to stand up, and it's amazing how we get all these patriots, P-A-Y-triots, that are now banging the local drum when, Mark, I know you, Linda, Sally, myself, a bunch of us have been fighting this this local, since 2009, understanding where we had to go.
Yep.
And I think that the idea of all of a sudden people that are pundits are waking up to the idea, they're just kind of jumping on the bandwagon. I don't really know if they're helping much, but they're jumping on the bandwagon, if nothing else.
I guess that's better than jumping off the bandwagon. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, it really is. It really is. And it does. And it is helpful, that's for sure. But you're right about local, Linda. It's the only way we're going to regain our liberty is locally. And I really like what the Board of Supervisors has done here. We just have to, I mean, it's going to come down to the counties are going to have to become sovereign. I don't see how the counties don't become sovereign at this point because, there's no way that our supervisors are going to follow unconstitutional laws. They're just not going to do it. At least we know that through January.
Well, right, you're correct.
We've got to back these guys.
It's kind of an interesting thing, too. I saw the clip on the sheriff waking up to the border policies a little bit, too. So there are people, and I've got no love for Sheriff Johnson at all. I think he was backed by the Democrats. But I think they're starting to see the danger a little bit here to their little fiefdoms.
I think that you're right about that. I think that Sheriff Johnson, I mean, there's a lot of sheriffs that are engaged in this and understanding. See, Sheriff Johnson in coming forward to this, I didn't really hear a solution, but I heard the what's wrong. I mean, he made everybody aware of what's wrong and we need to be ready for what's wrong. Okay. And then, how do you prepare for what's wrong? What teeth do you have to prepare for what's wrong? And how does the sheriff department do that? I never saw that part of it. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think that the sheriff, making people aware of it, and the sheriff, I don't think he's a bad man. I think that he probably is understanding, as you say, Mark, and you're right, that this thing is becoming overwhelming. And if they get into our counties, we're going to have some way to stand up against it.
I have a question. I have a question that everybody needs to ask him. If this gets really bad, will you arrest people that are open carrying?
Well, you can ask him that, I guess. I mean, the thing is that if it gets really bad, I mean, if you have a weapon, you're going to be carrying it. I mean, I you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, that's not, for me, I'm a terrible shot.
That's kind of what I'm talking about.
I have something that I can hit anything with. Okay, so
I can make a weapon with anything.
Listen,
a big pen. Okay, so
yeah,
we do have another caller, Terry, and I probably want to get on there before we have to go to the break, but. And then we got another half an hour worth of the show. So I don't know. Do you have any more we need to add?
No, that's great, buddy. Listen, you guys have a great show. This is a great conversation. I'll get off and let somebody else weigh in.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
with
Terry.
That, we'll
sure.
go to Siskiyou Steve. Are you there? Steve, hello. You're on the air.
You're on the
Steve.
Air, Steve. If you're not on the air soon, you're going to be off the air.
I'm here. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I listen to your show religiously. I really do, and I try to get people up here to listen. That's been a battle, but Terry and Wynn's show again this morning was just phenomenal. That lady really has a solution, Linda Payne.
I agree.
And I suggest that everybody quit the Kibitzin and the Kibochin and all the other talk about this and that and just get on board and start supporting the voter fraud, because that is key. That's probably the only real thing we have is to really bring forward the corruption with the voting laws, because that's why the right and the left, nothing has changed in 70 years. In my lifetime, every time we vote, it just gets worse.
Well, we need to quit chasing the distractions, Steve, and start going after the stuff that is working and do the stuff that actually makes a difference.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. The right and the left haven't done a damn thing in 70 years. We've gotten worse as a country. So I would say just focus on the Constitution.
You're cutting in and out.
Your love for yourself and your neighbor and empower yourselves, that's key. And that's my solution, and that's what I profess.
Very good.
And I really appreciate your guys' show, because you bring all this forward. And you just keep bringing the information, and that's the most important. Bring the information so the people can empower themselves. But the Constitution is key. The right and left is just getting in each other's way all the time. But if we could save the peace on earth with just professing the Constitution, not your left or your right, but do you believe in the Constitution? The country was founded under God, and then the Constitution was made from that. Very simple.
It was founded for a free people, no matter what your beliefs, and that's what needs to happen. There has to be a moral tenet to that, because it can't survive an immoral population. But, you know, exactly. I do disagree with exactly. one thing. I disagree that the most important thing is actually doing stuff, not spreading information.
Well, yeah, okay. It's the same thing. I mean, you're spreading information, you're doing it, and, you know,
we just got to be careful.
We
just got to be careful what we're spreading, Steve.
Well, I say God and the Constitution. That's all I know. The rest of it isn't working.
I agree.
70 years and our country has gone down to shit. So,
I think they're probably going to cut that. All right, we got to go, Steve. We're at the bottom of the hour here, I think. And
real quick, it was in the Bible, Matthew 5:44, which states, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who prosecute you." Sorry.
Well, you know, but you could go on with that and say, love your neighbor as yourself, but if your enemy is evil and you love him as yourself, he might need a good whacking.
I didn't say you had to love him.
Let's go to our
with that, well, I guess we're going to take a break, and we will pick it up on the other side. We'll do the town hall and move right along. Yeah. All right. We'll see you in about 3.
I've been growing older all my life, but that don't mean I always act that way. Still ain't backing down from any fight. Just pick your bout, the ones I pick these
days. Good day. Welcome to this
week. Running faster than my demons. I still got my problems with my pride. So looking for a reason for my reasons. Luckily, I still ain't out of town. And I've lived and I've learned. I've crashed and I've burned every bridge that's tried to cross me. Misspent some days.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night and Extreme Bulls and Barrels on May 15th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government to making health care available to so many. To our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get ready for the ultimate slapdown as Wind River Resort and Casino and Hard Pot Productions bring you Flap War. Experience the excitement on Saturday, June 1st as the Flap Warriors fight to be the last slapper standing. Tickets for this thrilling event start at just $35 plus fees. Score a VIP table for $200 plus fees. VIP tables come with a perfect seat for you and a friend and includes 4 specialty cocktails. And $10 free slot play. For complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night and Extreme Bulls and Barrels on May 15th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government to making health care available to so many. To our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In the latest development involving Mayor Powell's situation, the missing 1968 Chevelle has been delivered to the home of a family member in another county. According to the family member, the delivery of the vehicle was unexpected, and it arrived in a deteriorated condition. The absence of proper registration and ownership documents has raised doubts about Mayor Powell's adherence to the court order. The court documents had explicitly instructed Powell to return the car in the same condition as when she had her father, who was suffering from advanced dementia, to transfer the title to her. Since the delivery of the car, the family has not received any communication from Mayor Powell. As a result, the family is contemplating additional legal action to ensure complete compliance with the court's order and to facilitate the settlement of the estate. Up next, the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, has called for the reclassification of cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. This decision follows a recommendation from the Department of Health and Human Services 8 months prior. The Biden administration initiated the review in October 2022, marking the first time a president has requested such an action. The rescheduling proposal will undergo a formal rulemaking process, including public comments and potential judicial review. While significant, rescheduling to Schedule 3 fails to address the conflict adequately between federal and state cannabis policies. This marks the fifth time a cannabis rescheduling petition has been decided by the DEA, with the agency rejecting a similar petition in 2016. Once finalized, the changes in marijuana's federal status will take effect 30 days after publication in the Federal Register. On the possible precipice of rescheduling, Hayward, California has adopted Ordinance Number 23-02, tightening regulations on commercial cannabis businesses. The ordinance introduces application fees and strict enforcement measures to keep cannabis operators in check. Violators will face a range of penalties, including administrative fines, misdemeanor charges, and civil penalties sought by the city attorney, with fines ranging from $5,000 to $15,000 per day for each violation. Illegal cannabis cultivation will be met with steep fines, $1,000 per plant for a first offense, $2,500 per plant for a second violation within 2 years, and $5,000 per plant for a third violation within the same time frame. Property owners and tenants will be held liable for any penalties incurred. As Hayward takes a firm stance on cannabis regulation, the future of commercial cannabis trade in the state remains uncertain. On a lighter note, residents of the Redding area can look forward to a day of fun and bargains at the upcoming 46 Wooded Acres big event. Get ready for an unforgettable day of treasure hunting and bargain bonanza at the 46 Wooded Acres big event on Saturday, May 11th. This annual neighborhood garage sale extravaganza has grown from a humble gathering of a dozen homes to a massive event featuring over 90 homes eager to sell their wares. Embark on a thrilling journey through the Wooded Acres neighborhood, including Anderson Oaks, Aldea Robles, Wooded Acres North, Fiesta Way, Robles North, and Meadowview. The wheeling and dealing commences at 8 a.m., rain or shine, so come prepared for a full day of fantastic finds and unbeatable deals. From Redding, take Airport Road south to Meadowview Drive, turn right, and follow the signs. From Anderson, take Airport Road north to Turn Creek Road, turn left, and turn right on Riata Drive. Take advantage of this exciting neighborhood celebration with 46 years of tradition and countless treasures waiting to be discovered. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Street, supply chain short, the border's weak. Now 20 bucks feels more like four. Inflation's knocking down our door. Gasoline's at an all-time high. Balloons from China crossed our sky all hail. That's why I'm part of the FJB Club. I'm part of the FJB Club. Holler if you're part of the FJB Club. Everybody let me hear you scream. That's why I'm part of the FJB Club. I'm part of the FJB Club. Holler if you're part of the FJB Club. Give the old man more ice cream. FJB.
Sovereign Minds, and while we're on the subject, let's hear from Mr. FJB. Here's a Ron Burgundy moment, if you haven't heard this one yet. That's worth the price of admission. Here we go. Well, maybe. Hold on.
Not yet.
What happened? We got a glitch in the system?
The Matrix is calling.
Here we go. Try it one more time.
Do not diminish it.
Okay, here we go.
I see an America where we defend democracy, not diminish it. I see an America where we protect freedoms, not take them away. I see an economy the gross and the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth.
Deficit.
Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
And the lemmings in the background. Four more years.
Pause.
Meanwhile, the headline, McDonald's customers are shocked after $27 McNugget meal deal goes viral.
Oh, and we do
have no problem.
There was another bank closure this last week.
Oh, First Republic or Public Preferred?
Well, you know, at first I was confused because there was First Republic last year, and this year...
And Silicon, yeah.
Yeah, and this year it's Republic First. So... It looks like we're probably heading into a bunch more bank closures. We'll see how.
Yeah, I just saw a headline there predicting, you know, like 10 more easily, you know.
But we'll see how it develops. But as you know, while we're on the subject, here's another sparkling moment in the White House briefing. Here we go.
Why is President Biden saying that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
So you know. I answered this question yesterday. I've seen some clips on your network about me answering this question. I don't have much to say beyond what I said to some of your colleagues. Look, I was there. I think you traveled with us, too, to Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if you were there at the memorial in Scranton. The president had an emotional and I think a symbolic moment. He had an opportunity as president to honor his uncle's service in uniform. He had an opportunity to be there as president to speak to the bravery of his uncle, and not just his uncle, but many service members that put their lives on the line on behalf of this country.
He had a moment.
His uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off.
That's where the cannibals were.
The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war.
Did he really have an uncle, Bozy?
When they come home.
He did.
And as he iterated,
he was on the Indianapolis. He crashed into the Indianapolis.
The last thing Americans should be called are suckers and losers, and that is those types of words should not come from a commander as we have in the past.
She is the worst press secretary in history on anything. She never answers a question, and then she tries to lie about what Donald Trump said about the suckers, which had nothing to do with it. He got rained out.
It's usually about the
helicopter was dangerous. All this.
Yeah.
She
goes on the election. This is happening because of an election. This is happening because of the election coming up.
Lying.
This is happening because Donald Trump's in the election. If you listen to her,
was right next to Quinn when we went sharking.
Yeah. As I was praying with all the people, the black church that I had been in all my life.
You ever look into a shark's eyes? They're like doll's eyes. And when he bites you, they roll over.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
That's unbelievable. Okay.
You know, there is actually a really interesting fact
on here. Anything up. Oh, no. He was on the Indianapolis?
No. Here, so there is oversight.house.gov has on their official government website 16 times that Joe Biden has lied about his family's business.
I saw another one. There was 148 times that he's lied. That's provable. I mean, he doesn't tell the truth about anything. I've even got a clip here where he's back in the day telling everybody he's corrupt. So he did tell the truth. He told the truth that when the guy said, "Hey, you know, we know you're not corrupt," and he says, "Well," I says, "I wouldn't count on me not being corrupt." I think I have the clip.
So Dave. Was it misinformation or disinformation? Answer the question.
And it's interesting because you look at all these fact-check sites, and it's literally on the oversight.house.gov website for that one. And then you go through and you look at, okay, so Biden claimed that Bo died in Iraq. He also claimed he was at Ground Zero.
He was at Ground Zero. Which Ground Zero?
That could be a true statement. He is at Ground Zero.
He's definitely moving along those lines.
No, you quoted it wrong. He's a zero on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. So let's play this clip. Here we go. We've got another one. And this is, he's making it clear to tell Israel not to attack Israel.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Haifa is in Israel.
Yeah. Don't
move on one of your own cities because that would be like us.
Sadly enough, it brings
funding the other side.
It brings
like
me
what we're
a
really doing.
Bit of solace that we know he's not in charge. We know he's got handlers. We know he basically is just like sitting there. Ice cream? Yeah. Somebody change my diaper? Like that's where we're at, honestly, in this presidency. Who the hell is running the government? Jen Psaki? Maybe? Let's circle back to that.
I don't know.
I don't know, but he is not there. He is on the ground, and he has got zero.
So all right, we have another clip here from Biden. Hold on. Here we go.
That's really loud.
Okay, so I've got this one in regards to Biden, and this is from the Postmillennial 3 days ago. Biden admin awards Border Patrol agent for his service after falsely accusing him of whipping Haitian illegal immigrants. One of the Border Patrol agents who was falsely accused of whipping illegal immigrants in the U.S. southern border in Texas has received an achievement award from the U.S. Biden administration, Customs and Border Protection.
What?
He was honored on Thursday for his intelligence work on human smuggling cases, as reported by the New York Post, and the agent's name has been withheld since September of 2021.
The guy that whipped the agents with his reins? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they claimed it, but it wasn't the case at all.
I actually know how to ride a horse, believe it or not. it was stupid. But it shows you how these guys will try to run with anything and spin it and lie and turn it and twist it. And they are absolutely off the charts liars about everything. And so,
yes.
Well, unless they're telling the truth about something when they think it's okay.
It's just madness and censorship at every turn. So I've got another one right here. So Postmillennial, Google bans ad showing how life was better under Trump than Biden. And so this particular ad was placed up, and there's a number of different pieces on it. But according to Arrange, a reporter for NBC News, Google removed the advertisement for the vague justification of policy violation. On Friday, the advertisement was up in the Google archive, but has been since removed. Arrange also pointed out that Make America Great Again Super PAC, the group behind the advertisement, spent over $15,000 targeting the advertisement at specific communities in Georgia. The ad featured a conversation between a caller from the Biden campaign and a voter expressing remorse for voting for Biden in 2020. The voter complained that the increased cost of living under Biden, including prices for food and rent. Everything costs more. Food costs more. Rent. The voter complained on the phone to the campaign worker. Okay, but Biden helping pay rent for the newcomers to America from around the world, the Biden campaign worker responded. You mean illegal immigrants, the voter asked in the ad. I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals. They get handouts, and I'm paying for it. The things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump, the voter concluded.
He's flying them in from other countries. But
yep.
Let's switch gears. Let's not leave any stone unturned. I want to talk a little bit about Hillary here. So this is a report from Tribe 24/7, and it's some great reporting done by Julie Kelly. I suggest that you go ahead and follow her on X. The report reads, all roads lead back to Hillary as the Mar-a-Lago raid comes into focus. Newly unredacted documents are bringing the FBI's raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence into focus. And like so much surrounding the weaponization of the feds against the 45th president, at the center of the focus is one Hillary Clinton. Gee, who knew? People are buzzing about this again after Hillary's name resurfaced thanks to the investigative reporter Julie Kelly. Revolver News noted she's been digging into this and sharing many newly unredacted files related to Jack Smith's classified documents sham case. These files paint a much clearer picture of what happened and how President Trump was in, oh God, I can't even say it today, was set up. he was set up by Biden's weaponized DOJ and how his employees were given the unjust entrapment and treatment. Wow, say that five times fast. Was given the unjust entrapment treatment that was disgraced, that our disgraced FBI has become infamous for. So now we've got these new documents, Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, DOJ, Chris Ray, Stephen D'Antonio, FBI sent agents to interview, interrogate one of Trump's closest personal aides. I'll let you go ahead and read all this. This is exactly what they did to Flynn under a ruse, and the documents are showing that these roads are leading back to, guess who, Hillary Clinton. And so, you know, we want to dispel another myth, and I'll play this little short clip here. This is Hillary Clinton back in the day, introducing George Soros' involvement into our elections, and this is the start of the downfall of our nation, which continues as we speak. Here's Hillary Clinton back in the day, and of course, all the George Soros stuff is it's just all conspiracy theory, right? There's nothing to it. Anybody who talks about George Soros funding any of these outfits, Open Society, and all this stuff.
It's not true about the, you know, our ex ROV went to a George Soros event and spoke.
No, it's not true.
I know.
Why? Because I said so. And that's what I do.
Because
I'm in the media, I can say anything.
You got to say in there.
We need to start talking about your ancestry. okay, here we go.
If it's mine, it's yours.
Shut up. Here we go.
And others don't. We have been given an extraordinary blessing. And at this moment in time, our country needs us. And we need people like George Soros, who is fearless and willing to step up when it counts. So please join me in welcoming George Soros.
Kissy, huggy. Nothing to see here.
Yep.
It is the first time that I feel that I need to stand up and do something really and become really engaged in the electoral process.
Where's James Bond when you need him?
I mean, if that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you.
Yeah, he's getting involved in the electoral process back in the day, but he just, that was just all empty words, right? He hasn't been.
Yeah, but they didn't say when he said, like, when it counts, I need to do something. We didn't define what that meant.
Well, and one more of these things that is going to end up making our lives all worse, because as we've seen all across the country over the past few years, it's not always sunny. It's not always windy. In fact, what we're finding out is as climate change happens more and more, the winds blow less and less. So using more like wind and solar and things of that nature isn't necessarily the play. However, I've got an article
here.
Kills
the animals.
Right.
Destroys the environment. No problem.
Well, and they won't tell you how many endangered bald eagles are killed every year from these things, and it's a lot. They won't tell you about all of the endangered creatures that are dying from these things continuously, and it's just taking them out. You can look it up. They won't tell you about how there's no real way to recycle
this. They took the dams out in Siskiyou County, and I guess it's just destroyed the river.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the animals. All the animals that are stuck in the mud.
I guess that's part of the river.
So here's the next one. G7 nations reach agreement to end all coal plants by 2035.
Actually, the headline, I think, and we're looking at the same article, I believe, is Biden announces closure of all coal plants by 2035. Power grid could collapse. Is that the same one?
Nope. So we're looking at a different one. It's the same concept. It's the same story.
What do you mean? There might be a problem if they close the coal plants for my electricity?
So here's the deal. Leaders of the group of 67 nations have committed to shutting down all coal power plants by the year 2035 at the latest, with most of them being 2030. Now, here's the thing. Out of all the other people combined, you've got at most, you've got basically the United States and Japan. United States has the highest at close to around 2,400 100 plants. You have China, which is actively building more, and they have close to about 7,600 plants. They have three times more than all of ours combined, and we've actually gone well down. Like right now, looking at the chart on it, we're close to only about 1,000 plants open anymore.
And so they're gonna comply with that, right? They're gonna close all those plants by 2035?
Not even a chance. They are building more actively right now. In fact, as we have gone down, they have increased from around 2000, they were at about 2,500 plants. Now, as of 2022, they are at 7,600 plants. They are more all than combined across the world. We are not going to be able to do anything, even if we convert ourselves over to fully electric and all the rest of this. We're just stabbing ourselves in our knees.
I'm not sure how we can do that if we get rid of the coal plants, but just saying.
Well, and it absolutely is all contrived. It's all manipulated. Around the same time as our economy started crashing, we saw all these multi-billionaires and millionaires all move their money over to China.
Well, I'm starting to think that what we're going to see before the election is Brandon up there declare a climate emergency. And then he's going to try to do a martial law thing to subvert the election. I really believe that that's probably in the works.
Well, did you see about the treaty, the pandemic treaty that they're supposed to sign at the end of the month?
Yeah, I mean.
You think that might cause a problem?
What they're going to do is say, because of climate change and the emergency that it entails, that the world is going to go just is in dire consequences and there's a crisis, that we're going to have to shut down all of our elections and declare martial law. And we're
going to pay you to turn your neighbor in.
And I remain king.
And here, we'll give you some cashews if you turn your neighbor in and let us know.
here, you get some. I want pistachios.
Well, you're out of luck. Right, no pistachios.
Here is the article. This is from Reuters. WHO chief urges countries to finalize pandemic accord by deadline. Geneva, May 3rd, the head of the World Health Organization on Friday, urged countries to agree to an accord to help fight future pandemics as negotiations approach a deadline this month.
So do you think that Biden has lost all credibility at this point, or people will just lockstep go in and in for this?
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, this is the big thing. People need to understand. You can look it up, and you can see the attendees list of the World Health Organization and of the World Economic Forum, and you can see their attendees list. It's all fun and games until you realize basically every major CEO in the entirety of the country is there. Every major president and every one of their staff and all the news organizations are there, and yet we don't get to see the whole thing live broadcast. We don't get to see that at all. All we know is what they come out with afterwards, which is the Disinformation Governance Board, all of the stuff about labeling disinformation and misinformation or removing people and their ability to speak. And quite frankly, you're looking at the stuff right now that's quite disturbing about new legislation that they're trying to introduce to censor speech, like what we were talking about with the situations on possibly eliminating the Bible and the New Testament.
Well, their definition of a sense of misinformation or disinformation is anything that they disagree with, and we've seen that in the past.
Anything you say or I say, that's misinformation and disinformation.
Well, it's like this right here. So the United Methodist Church, whose American roots predate the Declaration of Independence by more than 40 years, underwent big changes this week.
Oh, yeah.
The business section of the delegates voted to make the church more inclusive for LGBTQ people speaking to marry the church or join its ordained ministry. Meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, the church on Tuesday dropped a ban on using church funds to advocate for gay rights. The next day, voters ended a 40-year-old ban on gay clergy ordination, which brought tears to the and singing from the advocates gathered at the meeting. On Thursday, UMC voters struck down language calling homosexual practice incompatible with Christian teaching and expanded the definition of marriage to two persons of faith, as well as a man and woman of consenting age. Most of the congregations that would have voted against the moves left the denomination by the end of last year, allowing the changes to sail through. But opinion contributor James Spencer points out what happened to the United Methodist Church could transpire the denominations that style themselves faithful and biblical teaching. For anybody that wants to know more about this and how this came about to be, look up the book Devil and Karl Marx, and you'll end up seeing they were absolutely infiltrated by the Communist Party. They paid people to go through the clergy and end up infiltrating mainly the United Methodist Church and basically brought about these changes to completely destroy it. Because, once again, They want government to be your daddy, government to be your God, government to be your provider, and nothing else.
So are you saying that the Marxists are Satanists as well?
Yes.
I wonder if we need to worry about that.
No. Wow. What was your clue? What was the first clue there?
Well, and so once again, too, this pandemic accord that they're trying to do, for those of you not aware, what it does is it gives the United Nations, or the World Health Organization, actually, complete control over, let's say, vaccines, whether you shut down. Everything else in regards to the sovereignty, you don't have any.
I think that there's going to be a lot of people joining the party of the middle finger of defiance at that point.
It must be. There must be. And you look at this UPenn Gaza camp occupiers issue guidelines telling students to take more risk and escalate protests.
All right, I think we're at the end of the show, everybody.
End of the show. Yeah, I don't know if the music's coming on or not, but
it is.
Is it?
Yep, it is.
All right. Well, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
See y'all next week. All gun control is racist.
Yep.
There you have it.
We'll see you next week.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.